1. Communism via violence and nonviolence. In the popular imagination, the Communist Party is synonymous with violence, and with good reason. In the Communist Manifesto, Marx and Engels said, "The communists disdain to conceal their views and aims. They openly declare that their ends can be attained only by the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions." The fact that the communist regimes of Russia and China took power through violent revolution and used violence as a tool of repression drew attention away from communism's less visible forms. The branch of Marxism that advocates violent revolution is represented by Leninism, which adapted the theory in two significant respects. According to Marx, communist revolution would begin in advanced capitalist countries, but Lenin believed that socialism could be built in Russia, which was comparatively backward in its economic development. Lenin's second and more important contribution to Marxism was his doctrine of party building. Party building basically consisted of adopting the techniques of coercion, deception, and violence found in criminal organizations, and animating them with Marxist socio-economic theory. According to Lenin, the working class is incapable of developing class consciousness or demanding revolution on its own, and must be rallied to action by external action. The agents of revolution would be organized in a highly disciplined proletarian vanguard, the Communist Party. The British Fabian Society, founded in 1884, a year after Marx's death, took a different path in the struggle to impose socialism. The Fabian logo depicts a wolf in sheep's clothing, and its name is a reference to Quintus Fabius Maximus Verrucosus, the Roman general and dictator famous for his delaying tactics. In the Fabian Review, the first pamphlet produced by the group, a note on the cover reads, "For the right moment you must wait," as Fabius did most patiently, when warning against Hannibal, though many censured his delays, "but when the time comes you must strike hard, as Fabius did, or your waiting will be in vain, and fruitless." To gradually bring about socialism, the Fabian Society invented the policy of permeation to take advantage of available openings in politics, business, and civil society. The Fabian Society does not restrict the activities of its members, but encourages them to advance socialist aims by joining suitable organizations and ingratiating themselves with important figures, such as cabinet ministers, senior administrative officials, industrialists, university deans, or church leaders. Sidney Webb, chairman of the Fabian Society, wrote, "As a society, we welcomed the adhesion of men and women of every religious denomination or of none, strongly insisting that socialism was not secularism, and the very object and purpose of all sensible collective action was the development of the individual soul or conscience or character, nor did we confine our propaganda to the slowly emerging Labour Party, or to those who were prepared to call themselves socialists, or to the manual workers or to any particular class. We put our proposals, one by one, as persuasively as possible, before all who would listen to them. Conservatives whenever we could gain access to them. The churches and chapels of all denominations, the various universities, and liberals and radicals, together with the other socialist societies at all times. This we called permeation, and it was an important discovery." Many members of the Fabian Society were young intellectuals. They made speeches and published books, magazines, and pamphlets across society. In the 20th century, the Fabian Society moved to the political scene. Webb became the Fabian representative in the newly formed Labour Representation Committee of the Labour Party. In the Labour Party, Webb drafted its party constitution and party program. Taking a lead role in forming policy, Webb endeavored to make Fabian socialism the guiding ideology of the party. The Fabian Society later acquired influence in the United States, where multiple groups exist in the liberal arts faculties across many universities. Whether Lenin's violent communism or the Fabian Society's nonviolent communism, both are manipulated by communism's evil specter and have the same ultimate aim. Lenin's violent communism does not reject nonviolent means. In his book Left-Wing Communism, An Infantile Disorder, Lenin criticized the communist parties of Western Europe that refused to cooperate with what he called the reactionary labor unions or to join the capitalist national parliament. Lenin wrote in his book, The Art of Politics, and the communists' correct understanding of his tasks consists in correctly gauging the conditions and the moment when the vanguard of the proletariat can successfully assume power, when it is able, during and after the seizure of power, to win adequate support from a sufficiently broad strata of the working class and of the non-proletarian working masses, and when it is able thereafter to maintain, consolidate and extend its rule by educating, training and attracting ever broader masses of the working people. Lenin stressed again and again that the communists must hide their real intentions. To seize power, no promise or compromise can be ruled out. In other words, to achieve their goals, they can be unscrupulous. On the road to power, both Russia's Bolshevik Party and the CCP utilized violence and deception to the utmost. The brutality of the Soviet and Chinese communist regimes has drawn attention away from the nonviolent communism found in the West. Bernard Shaw, an Irish playwright and representative of the Fabian Society, once wrote, "I also made it quite clear that socialism means equality of income or nothing. And that under socialism you would not be allowed to be poor. You would be forcibly fed, clothed, lodged, taught, and employed whether you like it or not. If it were discovered that you had not character enough to be worth all this trouble, you might possibly be executed in a kindly manner." The Fabian Society specialized in disguise. It chose Shaw, a literary man, to cover up the true aims of nonviolent socialism with beautiful words. But the brutality lies below the surface. Western communist parties and their various front organizations incite young people to create an atmosphere of chaos. They take part in assault, vandalism, robbery, arson, bombings, and assassination to harass and intimidate their enemies.